Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This week with Joey Harrington, we will try to coax some of the finest stories that he has.
How do we do that?
Yeah, we're going to mine for gold. Here he is.
Mine for gold.
Let's do it.
Okay, so we're going straight stories. And it's funny, you're starting with it. We don't actually have a topic or anything?
No, that's the whole point.
Open-ended.
Yeah. So
open-ended.
I have random questions that may or may not lead to great stories. So it's all on you.
It is. Okay, if it's all on me, here's what I'll say. And to our listeners, there was absolutely no planning behind this.
None.
Like, this is truly just like off the cuff. Okay.
Correct.
So I happened to get a call this week from a guy from the Atlantic.
Oh.
And he said, "Hey, I'd like to talk with you about the 2001 Playboy All-American photograph, that photo shoot." I was like, "Huh, interesting." And I was like, "I hadn't thought about that thing in 20 years because that was like, we were all dressed up in like Mad Max type, apocalyptic. We were like in like this Arizona junkyard wearing like leather and chains. And it was like crazy stuff. But so the whole point, and maybe this would be a good jumping off, random story. He said, "Do you remember anything from that weekend?" I was like, I really don't remember much, except there's one, moment that kind of sticks in my head. Is we just got there and, kind of figuring out how it all worked and where do we eat and do we have anything set up of this photo shoot? And there's like, pretty much no. I said, "Well, where do we get our food?" They said, "Well, Playboy is paying for it all through room service." I was like, "Well, okay." So we just go to the room and just call, I'm a senior, coming in senior in college. It's not like, a whole lot of extensive research in room service. And so we just call from our room, like, yeah. So Antoine Randall Al and I were roommates for that weekend. And so I called up, I said, "Hey, we'd like to order some lunch." They said, "Okay, well, is there a menu or something?" He said, "Yeah, it's just sitting right here in your room." And so we open it up and it's like, we're talking like lobster tails and, shrimp cocktails and all sorts of, they put us up at a pretty swanky, like Scottsdale resort. It was like, "We can order anything we want." And Antoine looks at the menu. He's like, "Oh my God, this is awesome." I said, "All right, give us 30 seconds here." And so we look through and he orders, I don't know why I remember this. He ordered like a rack of ribs and I ordered a steak. I was like, "Hell yeah. Like, this is amazing." And so the person on the other end of the phone says, "All right, well, would you like to, those are great choices. Would you like to try some Cristal with that?"
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hold on just a moment. And I kind of put my hand over the phone and I turned back to Antoine. I was like, "Hey, do we want to try some Cristal with that?" And he said, "I don't know. What is it?" And I said, "I don't know either. Why, yes, we'll have two, please." And so.
Nice.
And so, sure enough, we 30 minutes later, up rolls our steak and our ribs and two bottles of Cristal on ice, only to come to find out this was our, my first foray into that world, that Cristal was at the time like a $400 bottle of champagne.
Yeah, and you ordered two.
Yeah.
And we ordered two of them.
That's bar. Yeah,
you pulled the Dumb and Dumber. I'll take two in case I want seconds.
Exactly. But so we were just freaking out because it's like, oh my God, this, you know, this is a huge bill. And they're like, this isn't extra benefits. Like, this is part of the weekend. Playboy is paying for the bill. And so, you know, all right, we're feeling better about that. So weekend ends and we're like going to the buses, thanks so much, and seeing guys bringing their bags out. And as they set them outside the bus to get loaded up to go to the airport, clink, 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 and these bags are getting loaded up underneath the bus, and it's just glass clinking upon glass. And I kind of looked over, I was like, hey, just out of curiosity, what do you have left in the champagne department? And the guy was like, we are completely cleaned out. Like, all right, good.
Yeah, word got out. Hey,
word got out.
I would offer this, though. They offered it to you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like they suggested it. So,
yeah, I mean, you can't absolutely feel bad about that.
Yeah, I think that takes a little of the edge off.
Yeah. My,
plus, it's Hugh Hefner.
We didn't feel bad about it.
Yeah,
exactly. It's his tab.
We had a guy when I was at BYU that was named a Playboy All-American, and he couldn't go to the photo shoot. They wouldn't let him. No, they wouldn't let him. And so it was a whole thing. And when that happened, we found out our quarterback's coach at the time, the co-offensive coordinator, was Robbie Bosco, who was the quarterback on the 84 national championship team.
Yep.
And he was a Playboy All-American. And I don't remember who it was, but one of the guys went and found the 1984, or might have been 85 the next year, the Playboy issue with the All-American team. And guess who was in it? Robbie Bosco. He was at the photo shoot. And so, like, everyone went and, like, they photocopied maybe 200 of the spread with Robbie Bosco, and they put it up all over the locker room thinking it was kind of funny because our tackle, he was an offensive tackle. He wasn't upset about not going to the Playboy thing. We kind of joked about it, but he wasn't really mad. But we put that up all over the locker room and the coach's office and stuff. I have never seen a coach so angry as when Coach Bosco came in. Live it. I mean, he was a really straight, great guy, but a really hardcore Mormon dude. And he was not happy. And it was like, we got told under no uncertain terms, you get those down. This doesn't get brought up. You shut the blank up. Where did you find this?
Wow.
Some things never die, right?
Yeah.
And it's like pre-internet, right?
Yeah.
Man, you guys must have done some good research.
Yeah. I don't know where. I don't even remember who came up with the magazine, but someone found the magazine. And this was back before, like now, like you said, they took them out and they did like a photo shoot or whatever. This was just like it looked like a team photo, like on some bleachers or something. And there in the front row was BYU number 6. And I don't think the church liked that because he's like a national hero there down in Provo, right? I mean, you won a national title. I don't think they liked the fact that he that he was in Playboy.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well played.
Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed. I'm looking at the photo, and this is the first time I've seen it. And first of all, I don't recognize any of these guys besides you. And you mentioned Antoine Randall. Who else is in this
photo?
What
year was it? I need to look this up now, too.
So this would have been like Jabbar Gaffney.
Okay.
I believe he was, Florida. Mike Williams, offensive tackle. He was the 4th pick of the draft behind me.
Boy, he was one of the scariest human beings at the combine that I've ever seen. Like, it was like
him and
Bryant McKinney were the two offensive linemen, and I walked
and
in.
Bryant McKinney was there. Yep. Yeah, Bryant McKinney was at the photo shoot. He was the other tackle.
Yeah, that's when you walk in and you're like, I'm not like either of them.
Center from Texas A&M, Seth
McKinney.
Yeah, Seth McKinney and Bryant McKinney. Yeah,
I remember those guys.
Yep. Yep. Okay. So, hey, we're going down memory lane here. I'm pulling up. Okay, who would be some of the wideouts though? Was DJ Williams a linebacker in there?
Well, like I said, I don't recognize any of them. There's one white guy on the right that looks like a wideout, but I don't know. I don't know who he is.
I'm disappointed that no one has a chin strap for an eye patch. If the movies have taught me anything, it's that you always lose an eye in the apocalypse, and that's where the chin strap comes in.
There you go. There you go. Or do they not have names on this picture you're looking at?
Not the one I'm looking at.
I'm guessing like Antrell Roll, Mike Rumpf, Philip Buchanan, Ed Reed. I mean, I'm just kind of going through. Was Jeremy Shockey in there?
No, he doesn't look. I don't see Ed Reed either, but.
Okay. Well, maybe during the commercial break, you can try and find a list.
I'm going to do it right now.
Yeah, working a hard Google right now to get to the bottom of this.
Which means we're going to get to the bottom of it. Now, why don't they put? Were you disappointed they didn't put like Playboy bunnies in the photo? You know, like was there anything really Playboy about the photo shoot?
No, nothing at all.
Right. It's just a photo shoot.
And that was kind of the point of this guy calling in the interview. He was like, "Look, this used to be like a major honor like this, like that, and kind of a one-off thing that Playboy would do this, you know, and it wasn't like first team, second team, third team. It was just one person.
Yeah.
And now it's just kind of gone away. It's kind of gone the way of the dodo.
So when somebody calls you, when a journalist, a random reporter calls you, what are like the top topics that you think it's about?
Well, it's usually around draft time, or it's around Heisman time. That's when most of the calls come, and it's always, we're doing a retrospective on, talking to old guys who, old farts who, do you remember what it was like 20 years ago when you were drafted? You know, that kind of thing. Or remember when that billboard went up in New York? It's like, nope, had no idea. I'd completely forgotten about that. No one's ever talked to me about that before. That's usually what it's about. Yeah, this one was a bit. This was a bit off. This was out of the blue.
So is he writing a piece on it?
Apparently, he's been doing a lot of research, like talking to Mean Joe Green, and he's trying to get in touch with Antoine to verify the story. But I said, you don't need his verification. I got your, you know, I have memory like a steel trap.
Fascinating. Have you had Cristal since?
You know, it's funny. Yes, I have. But it's funny. So I got that. I took the bottle and I saved it and I set it. I brought it home with me and I set it on my dresser back in Eugene. And I said, we're going to open this. I'm going to open this when we win the national championship this year.
Ooh.
And I brought it with me to the Fiesta Bowl. And I brought it to the Fiesta Bowl and everything that was set up. You know, for the potential situation, we did everything that we could. And so I popped that bottle after, it wasn't immediately after, but it was, I think it was the next day after the Fiesta Bowl.
Hmm. Did you know you were going to smoke Colorado?
No, not like that. I mean, I knew we were going to win, you know, just in the same way that everybody believes they're always going to win every game. But no, I didn't know it was going to be like that because we put it to them pretty good.
Let me ask you this then, because the flip side of it was, is it right? Everyone has that feeling. Did you ever go into a game thinking, oh, we got this, and then you ended up getting shillelied?
Oh, that was called my NFL career.
Oh, yeah.
And then it got to the point where, like, you don't even go into it thinking that we got this. Then it's just like, please don't get shillelied. Like, let's just keep this thing close.
I always laugh at that because everyone always does the, you know, like, we believed. Well, everyone believes. Everyone believes. Yeah. It's like the easiest thing in the world. Like, oh, we got this until... You know, I think it was Mike Tyson, right? Everyone has a plan to get punched in the mouth, and then you do get punched in the mouth, and then all of a sudden that doubt starts creeping in. You're like, ooh, okay, we're in some trouble, boys. Right. Like, we're playing the varsity.
Now, I thought of another question based off of this, but we have to take a break first. See, this is great. We are meandering story time with Joey, and it's going wonderfully. You don't always have to have a topic. Okay.
Okay.
So a couple follow-ups to this. When we return, it is story time with Joey Harrington. Each Friday, 5:30, here on The Fan. All right, we're back with Joey Harrington. And you brought up something interesting. You were talking about, you know, the idea of confidence. I asked you about the Colorado Fiesta Bowl, and did you know that you were going to cream him? Flip side of that, at what point when you were in Detroit, at what point did you start to, I don't want to say dread, but did you start losing confidence? Like, were you confident?
Well, you can say dread, because I absolutely, I dreaded.
Going out there?
Oh, I love playing on the road. I would have played all 16 games on the road that last year.
So those fans were the Detroit fans were they're pretty ruthless.
Well, I mean, it's you know, no more than anywhere else. I mean, once you start getting death threats, you know, it's you know, you've kind of crossed that point. And you know, sure, Philly is ruthless, but I mean, any NFL fans that show up are gonna feel the same way. At what point I would probably say, couple games into my fourth year at Detroit. That's when I really started to dread the games. That's probably a good point.
And you doubted, like going into the game, you're like, oh, we're going to get, you know, like you just had no confidence that you were going to win.
No, that wasn't it.
It was just not having fun anymore.
It's a tough thing to describe. Because I know that I can, I mean, at that point, you still know that you can make every throw, you know, that you can absolutely execute the game plan. It was this, you know, you hear people talking about pulling the string, right? So if think of it like this, if I'm throwing a ball and then you throw it and then you pull your hand back. Like, imagine there's like this imaginary string and like, zoop, you're trying to pull that string on the ball back. Right. That's when you hear a commentator talking, oh, he's pulling the string. You're just like, you're trying to throw a dart. You're trying to, as opposed to just like being loose and fluid and just chucking the ball, you start to get really tense. And it's not so much, like, I think that we're going to get creamed as much as it is. I'm just really tight and I'm really anxious and you're really, you play not to make a mistake. And it's more of just like this feeling like I know what's probably going to happen, but I have no idea how to dig myself out of it.
Hmm. Yeah. Very interesting. You don't often think that as a fan, you know, you just think that, you know, these are professionals. They're going in confident every game, but these are things like you can't, I don't know, you just can't see them, you know, when you're watching.
No, and you can't, and that's a really interesting thing.
It's the human element.
Unless you've been through it, yeah. Like it's funny, my brother and I will sit and watch games, and there have been a couple times that happened this last year where we both looked at each other and said, oh, he just pulled the string on that. Like, and you can, if you've been through it, you can see it. Like, you can see just that tightness and that anxiety. But if you're not paying attention or if you're just the average fan, it's, you know, it just looks like somebody's screwing up. But you, if you're watching and if you've been through it, you know what it looks like.
Yeah, people, we make these athletes out to be like these, like superhumans that are void of emotion and, or that there's no way that doubt or fear and anxiety or any of that can creep in. And, I, you know, with the exception of the psychos, the Michael Jordans of the world, I don't think people really appreciate how much on a day-to-day, game-to-game, practice-to-practice, some of that stuff wells up in a vast majority of athletes.
Oh, and it manifests itself so differently for so many different people, right?
Yeah.
You know, you get those offensive linemen that will truly be vomiting in a garbage can before the game, like just puking their guts out because they are so nervous. Like, they're so amped, they're so anxious that they literally cannot keep anything in their stomach, and they're just like retching in the garbage can before, in the locker room before games. And then they go out and they put their face into somebody and they play for 3.5 hours. I mean, it's this, we say it all the time. It's not real life. Like, it's not normal human behavior.
Yeah. I always say this one, my last would have been my third camp, and I had never made it through that season, but it was the third time going through that. I hated it so much. And that feeling, I would wake up in the morning and I would pack my bags. And I would sit there on the end of my bed and try to convince myself to just go home. I was like, I really can't stand doing this. And that feeling you're talking about is real. It's just, it wells up. And I was just like, I have never felt worse. Like, what am I doing? Like, here are my bags. Just have the balls to get up and walk and be like, this isn't good. And each time you're like, well, all right, well, go put on my helmet. Like you said, ram your face into someone and then, you know, it kind of dissipates and it's rinse and repeat. And It's a tough struggle. But it's not something, you know, that you can talk about because, you know, it's that sort of culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever get sick on the sideline?
Never got sick on the side. Well, I actually got sick on the sideline one time. Like I was throwing up before the game. I got some sort of like food poisoning type thing. Mm. And was like hooked up to an IV before the game, but never sick out of nerves.
And you played?
Ironically, played one of the best games of my Detroit career. Ah,
should have done that more. Had some bad shrimp.
Exactly. Yeah. That was the game. Okay. So we're down 14 with maybe 6 minutes left. And this is one of the games when Roy Williams and I just clicked. You know, one of the few times it happened, we drive down, score a touchdown, get the ball back with about a minute and a half, drive the length of the field, and I throw a back shoulder fade to Roy Williams in the left corner of the end zone. And we're down 28-27 to Minnesota. All we got to do is kick the extra point and go to overtime. So we're coming to the sideline, and everybody's happy. And I look back out on the field, and the snap had skipped back to the holder, and we missed the extra point. We lost by one.
Gosh.
So Lionsy.
Wow.
God. Should have gone for two.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So I will say, though, my now wife, Emily, my girlfriend at the time, I was talking to her after the game, and she said, I know that was a tough one for you, and I'm sorry. And I was like, well, of course it is, but why do you know it was – why do you know it was tough? Because, and she said, well, because when they were cutting to commercial break, they showed a picture of you and there was no sound, but I could very clearly read your read your lips, and you muttered under your breath, you've got to be effing kidding me.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that? So Roy, who is the best player you ever played with, college or pro?
That's a very... Well, I mean, are we talking like Jason Taylor or like defensive? Are we talking about guy that I threw the ball to?
You tell me.
Best player you saw was a teammate.
I mean, Jason Taylor. Yeah. Jason Taylor was a defensive player of the year when I was with him with the Dolphins in Miami. Yeah. I'll tell my boys, it's like, don't ever forget that one time your dad beat Tom Brady. Right? Don't ever forget that. But what I don't tell them is that during that game, Jason Taylor had three sacks, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, and an interception for a touchdown.
Jeez.
Yikes.
Yeah. No wonder you say he's the best.
Yeah. I mean, he was a 6'6", 250-pound freak who could outrun you, outhit you, and jump over you. He was pretty incredible. That's probably why he's in the NFL Hall of Fame.
And a handsome devil to boot. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's
bald.
It's unfair. That's the one thing that God spurred him with. He had no hair.
Yeah, bald is beautiful though, right?
Yes. On him. Yeah. The guy looked like he did all that and looked like a model. It's unfair. Sometimes life is unfair.
Oh, well, you look like a model too, so you just didn't have all that, right?
Yeah. I didn't have the money.
Who is the best team you ever played against?
Against?
Yeah.
Oh, I played against Wait a minute. No, we didn't play them that year. I was going to say with the Patriots when they went 16-0, but we didn't play them that year because that was the year I went to Atlanta. Hmm. Boy.
Could be a college team.
Not prepared for these questions today.
Well, I'll think about that one.
Rob's bringing the heat.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's what I do. By the way, I hear golf shots.
Yeah, I'm sitting at the driving range. I'm not going to lie.
Well, it's good that you're back out there, you know, after the wrist injury.
I know. I got the clearance. Yeah, last 3 years it's been, a wrist surgery and two knee surgeries, and I now have clearance to start hitting some golf balls again.
By the way, I have scoured internet.
I can't find the damn thing.
There is no list of that team.
No.
All you can see is the photo, and you can't recognize anybody but you in it.
Yeah, and when you do, like, Googles it, like, for that team, it'll pop up, like, USC. It'll be like, oh, this guy gets named, you know, to All-America. There is no list anywhere. I've been looking for, like, 20 minutes. I can't find anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why the guy called me, because
right. –
that Playboy All-American team has just has gone Kaiser Soze.
It's vanished.
I can't wait for that story.
Vanished.
All right. Well, hit some good shots, and we'll talk to you next week. Great little story time.
Oh, thanks so much. Maybe a little prep next time, or a little heads up.
No, just the
random stories, just out of the blue are the best.
That's not how we do it here.
We go off the cuff.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Enough. All right, bud.
Joey Harrington each Friday here on The Fan, brought to you by BMW Portland, where relationships matter. Visit BMW Portland on Southwest Jefferson downtown or BMWPortland.com. Also brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here. Coming up next, Norm McDonald news kicks off the club on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.